So we're going to continue our series on faith, and I'm actually going to ask you to exercise some faith today. I was thinking, faith isn't something you really talk about, it's something you exercise, you put into practice. So I'm going to ask you to take a risk, and that risk is to talk to your neighbour. Isn't that scary? Well, that's really scary. Look, I can see the look of sheer fear on some faces. So just for 2 minutes, talk about faith and what it means to you. It always happens that once people get going, you're off, aren't you? If that was a really good conversation and you haven't finished it, then I suggest you finish it over coffee. But faith is a really important thing in life and in the Bible. I guess you also used in your discussion probably words like trust and believe. I looked up on the internet, those kind of words, faith, trust and believe, they appear about 900 times in the Bible. The word love appears 700 times in the Bible. Faith is important. Some people think faith is believing something you can't prove, like a step in the dark, like blind faith. But I want to suggest that everyone has faith. It's a world view, if you like. We exercise faith all the time, particularly when you get on an airplane. Or maybe you begin a new relationship. You're exercising faith. And as Christians, our faith is in God, his character, his promises, his word. Notice how the writer of Hebrews describes faith. The first verse, I put it up in three different translations here because I think it brings a richness. So the one that we had read to us. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. The New Living Translation, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. And the Message, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. So faith is what we exercise in the here and now as Christians, if you like, and it's meant to be active, as we'll look when we see the examples of these characters that are mentioned. It's like today we are so confident about something in the future that we live our lives so strongly assured that that is going to happen. Does that make sense? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says this, "For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident," notice that word again, confident, I say, "and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Paul is so convinced that what's going to happen in the future, when he dies, is going to be so great and so exciting, he lives as though that is true. And in fact, it's so exciting to him, he prefers to be there than living in the here and now today, which is a challenge, isn't it? And I think it's the example came to me. It's like preparing for a wedding. A friend of mine who's Nigerian got married recently. He went back to Nigeria to marry his wife. And there are some photos he sent me. They know how to do weddings in Nigeria. But think of all the months of preparation and planning and expense that went into preparing for that wedding. And those people lived and planned that wedding because they knew it was going to happen in the future. They lived their life aiming towards that wedding, okay? But actually, they were exercising faith that that wedding was going to happen. They believed it would happen, so everything in the here and now, in the day-to-day of their life, was aimed at preparing for that wedding. And that, I think, is what faith is for us. We live our lives today, confident and assured that what is promised in the future will happen. And faith is also being assured that just because we don't see it, it's still true. Because we believe every day in things we can't see, right? I typed into Google. These days, if you're a preacher, you don't have to move from your computer. You just type things into Google. And that's a giveaway, isn't it? I typed in, what are some things that we believe in that we can't see? You get thousands of things. Some things that came, emotions. You can't actually see people's feelings. Gravity, I was going to bring something and drop it. You know, you can't actually see that, but we believe in it. Radio waves, I've never quite worked out how I can send a message on WhatsApp and my friend in Tanzania can get it within half a second. I don't understand that. Time. Have you ever thought about that? You can't actually see time, but you believe in it. Intuition. And for me, that Kathy loves me. It's only by faith, I mean, she did, that I can believe that. That didn't come out right, actually. Sorry. That did not come out right. You know what I mean. I'm no philosopher, but I want to make the point that having faith in something you can't see is normal. It's not irrational. It's not unusual. And the writer goes on to show that our faith, although we're believing in things that are invisible, is actually built on evidence. It goes on to say, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made out of what was visible. Here in one verse is the Bible's answer to how it all began. Okay? God created it. There are alternative views today, particularly put forward by atheists like Stephen Hawking and Richard Dawkins. And put simply, they suggest there is no God and everything came from nothing. That's put very simply. And I want to say to you, don't believe those men when they say those things. They're brilliant scientists, far more brilliant than I am, but they go beyond their science into philosophy and theology, into faith. Okay, I want to recommend this book. I don't usually plug a book. Can Science Explain Everything by John Lennox? John Lennox is also a brilliant scientist, probably on the same level as those guys, and he's written this very helpful book that I can understand, so you'll understand it. And he has this quote. He says, atheist philosophers start with matter stroke energy, and these days they do call it nothing, and claim that natural processes and nature's laws, wherever they came from, produce from nothing all that there is, the cosmos, all of life, and the human mind. I find this claim stretches my rationality to breaking point. Get that? I find, that's me, not John Lennox, that requires more faith than what the Bible says. So I'm not trying to claim to be a great scientist, I'm just putting to you that the Bible can stand up against these other philosophers that you'll hear all the time and are put up as experts. They are experts in their field of science. They are not experts in the field of philosophy and theology and faith any more than we are. So I think we can have confidence that what we believe has a rational basis. But like every other worldview, every other faith, every other religion, there comes a point when you have to put into practice what you believe. And the rest of the reading mentions five people who did that. People who live life in the here and now because they believe so much in God and in what he had promised them for the future. I want to encourage you to read the Old Testament. Read stories about these men and women and how they put their faith into practice. Read the rest of Hebrews 11. There's a list of other characters in there. Just want to mention two briefly. Noah. We all know Noah. Noah lived, I think, hundreds of miles from the sea. Probably never seen the sea. And he spent years and years and years building this boat. Noah, sorry Rachel, is not a nice story about cute animals. Okay? It isn't. It's about God's judgment of sin and God's mercy. Notice his reward. He gets called an heir of righteousness. I quite like that. I quite like that one. My thing. Alan, heir of righteousness. Wouldn't you like, isn't that great? He's an heir of righteousness. What nice little epithet, I think that is, isn't it? Epithet. Heir of righteousness. Abraham. Abraham is the big example in the Bible of faith. He is the number one, if you like, when it comes to faith. I'd encourage you to look at his life. I think we're going to look at Genesis 17 later in the series to see that. He left home with his wife and went to a strange land. He made lots of mistakes, but he kept his faith because he was looking forward. It says about him in verse 12, "And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." And we are here today. We are spiritual descendants of Abraham and Sarah. And we also are called to follow his example, their example, and live by faith. So I just think we have to ask ourselves as a church, how are we doing? What are we doing as a church today because we're convinced it's going to result in future blessing, even though we may not see the results now? Maybe this leading our church into growth is something we can think in that context. What are we going to believe God for today that's going to happen in the future? Are we really a community of active faith, not just a community of faith? And individually, how are our lives, how's my life different because I'm living by faith, not by sight? How am I different to the guy next door? Where's my faith coming out? And God wants all of us to exercise faith. I think it's best to think of faith like a muscle that has to be exercised. But I choose safety and security most of the time. And I miss out on the adventure that Noah had and Abraham had and Sarah had and the rest of them. I've always liked to be practical because I think, you know, it's good to actually think of ways to apply. So I'm just going to finish with some ideas on how ways to grow in faith. Just five quick ideas on how we might grow in faith. The first one is to feed it. I think I plug this nearly every time we're up here. This is the way you feed your faith, the main way. This is the food for the Christian, the Bible. It's not an easy book, but there's so much around about how to get into it, you know, and to feed on it. How often do you have breakfast? Maybe we need to think how often we have this book. And I want to say, we will not grow as Christians without this book. You won't. You'll be stunted. So there's a challenge. Feed it. Secondly, exercise it by action. Why don't we think about taking some risks this year and do the equivalent of building a boat or leaving a comfortable land? Maybe you should go to Kenya. That's the thing in the news sheet. Think about going to Kenya. Do it because of faith. Or maybe you should give more of your money or your time. Or maybe you need to get up earlier to read your Bible. Or invite a neighbor in for a cup of coffee. Volunteer for a role at church. Stand up in some way against injustice. You can make the list. You know, we think of ways that we're exercising it. Thirdly, speak to one another about it. Over coffee in our home groups, I thought one question we could ask each other, what are you trusting God for? And what am I trusting God for? I've got to be ready to answer that if someone asks me over coffee. Fourthly, pray about it. The promises of God. It says Abraham believed God. He believed the promises. What promises are we believing? One wild promise I believe, Isaiah 60:22. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. I often feel the least in the kingdom of God, but he says the least can become a thousand, so I pray that sometimes for myself, that God would use my life in the lives of others. And then finally, share it with non-believers. Faith grows as we witness. We evangelize ourselves when we share the message. So do we want to please God? I won't get you to put your hand up. My answer is you'll say yes. Well, we need to agree with George Michael, who said we've got to have faith. You'll all start singing that in your head now. I checked the words. They're not very wholesome, the rest of the words. It's certainly not faith in God. But we've got to have faith, because it says in verse 6 of this chapter, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God without it, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So my prayer today, may we all, including myself, seek to develop in faith, confident in what we hope for, confident that what we believe will happen in the future will happen, and assured about what we do not see. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. And one of the key phrases just to finish in Hebrews 11 is by faith, and then it says someone's name, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. So I thought we might take a couple of minutes just on your own thinking, well, how would you like to answer that? By faith Alan, what would I like to say? So maybe take a moment, think about that. And dare you risk talking to your neighbour? Because I've been quite brief today. So we've got a couple of minutes. Take a moment to think what you'd like to say on the end of that. I'll have written about you in by faith. It doesn't have to be something big. Take a moment and then talk to the people you were talking to before.